Now let's turn our attention to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'm going to read the first four verses. In fact, let's go ahead and read all six of the first verses there. It's the letter to the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We read that as an example of all the letters, and we studied those letters not too long ago. One of the things that we learned going through those letters is each congregation has a varied number of those who are righteous and those who are faithful. In fact, any group that we might find ourselves in, we're going to find that there are various kinds of members of that group. The problem here in Sardis, as we see in the other letters, if we were to spend the time reading through and looking at them, is there were some who weren't doing much at all. In fact, there were some that were causing problems. There were others who were still faithful to God, but they weren't doing anything about those that were causing problems. And then there were others, it seems, as we read in the latter part of that letter, who were still faithful to the Lord, who the Lord was going to reward when all things came to an end because of their faithfulness. We want to consider some things this evening in line with what kind of church member are you? There are some kinds that I don't want to be. I don't want to be a church member that could be described as a sifter. This is one of the few crowds I can use this image with, and they actually know what I'm talking about. You don't see a lot of sifters anymore, but you know what a sifter is, right? You poured your flour in there, and you used it. Old time, you used it to get the bugs out or anything else that might got in there. The good flour came out the bottom, but what did the sifter do? The sifter held on to all the bad stuff. I don't want to be a sifter. Because a sifter is one who holds on to all the bad stuff. And we have scripture after scripture that gives us warning against that. That we are to mark false teachers and we're to avoid them. That we're to hold on to the good and turn loose of the bad. The sifter, if a person is like a sifter, they're doing the opposite of what God would have us to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. That's the attitude we need to have as a child of God. I don't want to be a Christian, a member of the local congregation of the Lord's people, that would be described as a sifter, holding on to all the bad things. And I'm not talking about being full of sin. I'm talking about hanging on to all the problems that are going on. Brother so-and-so spoke wrongly, and I just can't have anything to do with him anymore. I can't do anything about it. Or somebody messed up when they were leading that song, and that's my favorite song, and they led it wrong, and they missed a verse, and I just... You see, sifter holds on to all those things that causes problems and difficulties in the church, and we need to do everything within our power to avoid being that kind of a local church member. Some other things that I want to avoid, because they're troublesome, they're problem causers, I don't want to be a sponge. Now you might think sponges are great. They soak things up. Yeah, they soak up everything. If you've got bad stuff there and good stuff, it'll soak both of them up. I believe they tell us don't use sponges to clean your kitchen anymore because they'll suck everything up and you don't ever get them good and clean. And they'll just spread that stuff all over. A sponge will soak up anything. I don't want to be a chameleon either. you don't see it often, but every now and then you'll see a chameleon or one of those little lizards that can change his colors too, and you'll see him sitting in a spot where on one side he looks like a brick wall, on the other side he looks like a leaf. He changes to fit whatever the environment is. There's no consistency at all to what he stands for and what he looks like. He changes to fit his environment. That's not right for one who is a child of God. That's not helpful to a local congregation. Somebody that just changes for whatever's happening. That doesn't help a congregation to grow. Or maybe we might consider a grasshopper. We don't want to be like a grasshopper either. They just hop around all over the place. Just here, there, and everywhere. You ever tried to herd a grasshopper? I know we don't do much grasshopper herding around here. But I know when we were kids, probably, we saw them and we'd nudge them with our foot. Did you ever guess exactly which way they were going? You can nudge those things on the right side and they'll jump right back at you sometimes. You never know which way they're going to go. But you know they're going to change. They're going to jump. They're going to move. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There is no way for a body to grow if everybody's just jumping here and there. Everybody's changing just because Brother so-and-so is different than what he used to be. We need to be careful about what we take into ourselves. It needs to be the Word of God. We need to be discerning. Yes, we need to be able to determine between good and bad, between false teaching and the righteous teaching of the Scripture. And then we need to be able to choose the good and leave the bad alone. And then we need to be able to stand firm on that which is good. No matter what's going on around us, we need to focus on the Word of God. We can't change our tune simply because Brother so-and-so, who's been a member here for the last 50 years, is saying something a little bit different now. We've still got to stand on the truth of the gospel, no matter what's going on. We see that in the example of the Apostle Paul. We've seen that as he went about in his travels. It didn't matter to him the attitude that the Jews took. Paul was going to preach the same thing everywhere he went, because he was keeping himself focused upon the Word of God. Another group that we need to avoid. I don't want to be a merry-go-round. You know what a merry-go-round is. I got a picture of it here. We've all seen those in the playgrounds. Those things accomplish absolutely nothing except making me sick when I watch them or try to ride one of them. There is no purpose for that other than just to sit there and go around and around and around and around. You don't go anywhere. I don't want to be a merry-go-round because I don't accomplish anything. I don't learn anything. I'm just busy doing. I don't have this scripture up here, but remember the Apostle Paul said about the Jews that they were zealous for the Lord, but they didn't have knowledge. There's a sense in which they could be described as someone who's doing a lot, but they're not getting anywhere, because they're just going around and around. Also, don't want to be a wheelbarrow. I don't have a wheelbarrow at home. I got a wagon. But I suspect all of us have used a wheelbarrow at some point or another. Have you ever seen a wheelbarrow that carried the dirt across the yard for you? I know mine wouldn't. I used to have one. I could fill it up with dirt, and if somebody didn't pick that thing up and push it along, it didn't get nothing done. It'd sit there forever. By the way, the same thing with my wagon that I've got. If I don't grab a hold of it and pull it, it won't go anywhere. I don't want to be a wheelbarrow. But I've known a lot of real birds in the Lord's service. They're fine as long as there's somebody pushing them a little bit. As long as there's somebody back there giving them some urging. Been in places where we've had members that as long as you called them about every other week, they'd come to services fairly regularly. But if somebody failed to call them, they might not be there for 3 or 4 weeks. They had to be pushed. And while I recognize and understand we need the assistance and help of our brethren, we can't do this alone. We're to encourage and strengthen and build one another up. The passage we just looked at there in the book of Ephesians says, as each part works together doing what it's supposed to do, we all grow together in the Lord. So we have to help and assist one another, but we need to move beyond the point where we're the one that has to always be pushed. We sometimes need to be the one that's doing the assisting. And we need to be able to work on our own as well. Imagine what your knowledge in Scripture would be if the only time you ever learned something was when somebody else taught you and told you what it said. First off, you're not going to be very well grounded in the Word of God. You're going to be entirely dependent upon somebody else. That's why we emphasize so much the need to be readers of the Gospels and of the New Testament, to study on our own so that we can do for ourselves and be able to do for others as well. I don't want to be a will. I tell you, if we had a congregation full of wheelbearers, there just wouldn't be much that got done. Wouldn't be much that got done at all. Because somebody's got to be there to push each and every one of them. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor or toil is not in vain in the Lord. And I know he says be steadfast, immovable, and he's talking about don't move off the Word of God. Because he follows that directly after by be busy working for the Lord. Being a merry-go-round or a wheelbarrow is not going to get the Lord's work done. We need to be steadfast in the Word, and we need to be devoted to doing the labor and work that needs to be done. There's a couple of more things that I don't want to be like at all. Puppy dogs and kitty cats are cute, aren't they? We like having them. But I don't want to be a pet type church member. Because with pets, you have to rub the fur just the right way for them to be happy. You have to give them special attention. I don't care what kind of pet it is. I got a dog and a cat here because I don't want to offend anybody. I guess I could have put a fish and a hamster or things like that too. Because any kind of pet requires special care. They don't normally eat what we eat. You have to get special food for them. And while certainly we recognize there are benefits to that in our physical life, I don't want to be a pet type church member. I don't want to be a church member that is dependent upon how other people interact to me as to whether I can be of service or not. I need to be of service to the Lord no matter how everybody else treats me. Wait a minute now. Are you sure about that, Brother Dan? Are you sure that I can be a faithful member of the Lord's body even if nobody is nice to me? Yes, I can. It wouldn't be easy, but I can. My service to God cannot depend upon how other people treat me. It depends upon how I treat others. We need to make sure that we're not a church member that is in need of special care. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew writer says concerning him, talking about Melchizedek, we have much to say and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Exactly what we're talking about here. The Hebrew writer says, I have to have special things to talk to you about because you can't handle the other things. You have to have special care. Before I can tell you about Melchizedek and his relationship to the priesthood of Christ, I've got to go and explain a bunch of things. Because you've not grown to the point that you can understand this on your own. That's entirely what this passage of Scripture is talking about. I'm having to treat you special. Not because there's something wrong with it, but because you have failed. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have failed. I don't want to be a member of the church that would be described as someone who needs special treatment or special attention. Or has to be rubbed just the right way. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, "And our brethren could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly." And he goes on to describe how he knows they're fleshly, because they were arguing about fleshly things. And we're focused on the Spirit. They needed special treatment. Paul had to go to them differently than he did others. Another kind of church member that I don't want to be is an ostrich. It's rare that you meet somebody that when you say ostrich, they don't think, "Oh, he's the one who buries his head in the sand and thinks nothing's going on around him. He hides himself behind his head. It must not be happening if I can't see it. And if I'll close my eyes, I can't see it." Many of the complaints that Jesus has with the letters in the book of Revelation to those seven churches had to do with them ignoring the problems that were going on around them. And that was one of the problems Paul dealt with in the Corinthian church. Not only did they have sin among them, but it seemed they were just pretending like it wasn't sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it's actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality is such a kind as does not exist even of the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed should be removed from your midst. In other words, we know what's going on, but we're not going to do anything about it. We'll just let it happen. Because if I don't think about it, it's not really a problem. There's no telling how many congregations have been destroyed because of long-term festering problems and things that were going on among the members that everybody decided, "We're just not going to talk about it. I'm just going to pretend like it's not there and it'll go away." How many times did problems with our children go away because we pretended like they weren't there? That's how many times that worked for us. Not that we tried it a lot. We have to be aware of what's going on around us. How can we sift through and determine what is good and what is bad? How can we know who to listen to and who not to listen to? How can we know who needs some teaching and who is the one that can do the teaching if we're not paying attention to what's going on around us? We cannot bury our heads in the sand and assume that everything's going to go away because we can't see it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14, beginning, "I have a few things against you, because you have there some holding the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. So also you have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans." Or later on in that chapter in verse 20, I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And his problem wasn't just that that person was among them, that those problems were there, but that they had not done anything about it. They were burying their heads in the sand. They were pretending like this wasn't a problem. And it was going to cost them their lampstand. Their candle was going to go out. And those who were ignoring it were going to be held accountable for ignoring it, just as those who were engaged in it would be held accountable for engaging in it. Now, I don't want to be a problem causer. I don't want to be an alarmist, but I certainly do not want to be a church member that just hides myself from problems that are out there hoping that they'll go away. We do the church and we do ourselves and our brethren no good when we do that. These are some troubling kinds of church members. They can and have destroyed congregations of the Lord's people. In fact, I'm convinced, based on some things I have heard in the past, that they have destroyed multiple congregations because one group fell apart and some went somewhere else and did the exact same things and destroyed that congregation as well. We don't want to be any of these. What we want to be is a water hose. Now, we haven't needed water hoses too much here lately, but we all know the benefits of a water hose. And I suspect that as summer comes upon us and we get a little further in, we're going to realize the benefits of a way to get the blessing of water to the plants and such that are scattered around our yard. I want to be someone who is a channel of blessing, someone who is giving my life to the purpose of spreading the spiritual water of Jesus Christ among my brethren and helping them to grow and to bloom and to increase in knowledge and understanding. I can't be that spiritual water like Jesus is, as he told the Samaritan woman at the well. I'm not the water of life, but I can give that water of life. I can be the channel through which it is carried to others and bless my brethren in that. Peter told his readers in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. From the book of Proverbs, we read in 11, verse 25, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Later in that same chapter, in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And in the next chapter, in verse 14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. We need to be blessing our brethren. We need to be helpful in delivering. We could use the image of water like we're using here, or we could go back to the song we sang and use the image of shining the light of Christ among our brethren and in the world. Christians, do not hide your light, for ye are the light of the world. Or we could turn over to the song that we have in our song books now called The World's Bible, and talk about how we are the world's Bible. We want to be a member of the church that is a blessing to our brethren, helps them to grow and to increase. I also want to be a member of the church that is described as an ant. And I know, when we think of ants, we think of nuisances, but when you really look at ants, they're very industrious people. book of Proverbs says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provisions in the harvest." Rather than being a wheelbarrow that somebody else has to pick up and push, being entirely dependent upon other people, we need to be the kind of Christian that is able to get out there and do whatever needs to be done when it needs to be done, to the best of our ability. We need to be busy and working for the Lord. We need to be one who participates in Bible class to help others to understand the passages that we're studying in that particular class, the topics that we're discussing. We need to be one who actively engages in the song service so that we can teach and admonish our brethren. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to take opportunity, especially since we have just a few that are doing most of our song, we need to take opportunity to mention to them, hey, this song is really a song that lifts me up. Maybe it'll help some other people too. We ought to sing this more often. Or even, you know, we sang that song last week, and I just don't know whether I can agree with that teaching, or I'm having a hard time with that. Maybe we ought to spend a little more time and get more familiar with it so that it can be more useful to us. We need to be somebody that when it's time to teach a class, we're ready and willing to step up and do that. I realize in a congregation of this size and with our age group, our single age group almost that we have, those kind of opportunities don't pop up all the time. But we still need to be busy. There's somebody that needs some supporting comfort. We need to provide it. We need to be busy for the Lord. We need to be workers. We're never going to become a leader if we're not first workers. And the work's not going to get done if we don't take our responsibility to do it. I listen to a song just about every Sunday morning. It's amongst a bunch of songs I've got from a group that sings an a cappella. And it's titled, "Nobody Did." Everybody said that anybody could do all the things nobody did do. Somebody could do all the things nobody did. Nobody is the only busy person in some places. I need to make sure that I'm not nobody. I need to be busy working for the Lord in whatever capacity I am best suited to do. Everyone recognizes not everybody can do everything, but everybody can do something, and we need to be busy doing that to the best of our ability, and we ought not have to be pushed along in order to do it. We ought to be prompted by our love for the Lord and His family. I want to be an eagle. When you think of eagles, or at least when I do, we think of courageous and strong. We think of brave and true. That's why it's used as a symbol, especially in our country. I want to be courageous for the Lord. I want to be brave. I want to be like Peter, who stood up with the 11 in Acts chapter 2 and raised his voice and declared, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." Like Peter and John, when they were standing before the Sanhedrin council, and that council observed them, we read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. I want to be like Peter and John, who later on, after being released, prayed to God and thanked Him for giving them the boldness to speak the word. I want to be like Paul, who in the letters that he wrote to various congregations wrote, "Pray for me that I might have boldness to stand and speak the truth." Or like Paul, as we've studied him more recently, in prison, wrongfully in prison, because of the hatred of the Jews. And he stood before kings and governors. "I cheerfully make my defense. I'm glad for the opportunity to stand before you." We just studied Paul standing before King Agrippa, knowing that the reason he's giving this speech is so that Festus can have some reason to send to Caesar for sending Paul there as a prisoner. And what did Paul do? He preached the gospel. And when Festus said, "Paul, you're crazy. You've learned so much, you've gone nuts," Paul said, "No." And then when King Agrippa said, "Almost," Paul said, "I wish you were just like me. Not only you, but everyone gathered here." Do you understand the kind of courage that it took to stand up and do that? Do you want to be a courageous church member? Well, certainly we ought to. That's why I say, I want to be an eagle. Courage and bravery to stand up against wickedness and evil in this world and proclaim the truth no matter what. And finally, I want to be a tree. Not just any tree. I want to be a tree planted by rivers of waters. I want to be a tree with deep, large roots that drink long and hard of the continuous gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be what David described in the first Psalm. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of waters, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." I want to be the house that's built on the rock, that's built on a solid and firm foundation that I can trust in, that I can depend upon, and know that no matter what happens to me, I can stand. I don't want shallow roots to just touch up on the top of the Word of God. I want to be a church member that has deep roots, because I have dug down into the Word, and I've come to an understanding, and I have used it to build myself. Because I know that when trouble comes, that foundation will hold me firm. No matter what happens, I'll still be there. When the hurricane came through Jasper, there were a lot of trees that fell down in our neighborhood. One of the things I noted about every single one of those trees, their roots ran along close to the surface of the ground. I thought they were solid, firm trees. They were going to be there. But when the wind laid them over, there was no big root running straight down in, solid and firm to hold. There were roots that ran out along the edge of the top of the ground. That's not the kind of tree I want to be. I want to be a tree that can hold firm in the storms of life. And that means I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. The question for us is, what kind of church member am I now? And what adjustments am I need to make in order to be a better member? Am I a problem, or am I a blessing? Each one of us must answer this question for ourselves. I can't answer it for you. You can't answer it for me. I can't answer for my wife. She can't answer for me. I have to look at myself. I need to
look at myself through the mirror of the Word of God, and as James tells me, I need to not only look and see, but I need to remember what kind of man I am in the sight of God, and I need to make whatever adjustments are necessary for me to be what God wants me to be. And if you look this evening and find that there's a need for adjustment in your life, we urge you to correct things, pray to God, ask Him to forgive as a child of His. You have that privilege of prayer through Jesus Christ, our advocate. And if you will confess your sins, turn from them, you can be forgiven and make whole once again. And start from here, building yourself into the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. If we can assist you in that opportunity is yours. Why come? Will we stand and sing?